You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon, and I'm the host of Locked On Wolves, and it is the last Friday in August. The Timberwolves were in the Bahamas this week on their front office-sponsored trip that you've no doubt seen across social media with each of the players posting some highlights from the trip. Naz Reid had his 20th birthday celebration. There was a little bit of karaoke. Riding boats. Andrew Wiggins posted some video of riding on a boat. It was a whole thing. So go ahead. If you haven't seen any of that, there's some pretty good summaries from various Wolves beat writers and bloggers that cover the Wolves, as well as from the Timberwolves official account. But we talked about that on the last podcast as Darren Wolfson had kind of broken that news. But it sure seems like the trip was a positive thing for camaraderie. And, you know, they're all, I guess I don't know if they're back stateside yet, but they're probably on their way back. Headed into Labor Day weekend, hopefully you're gearing up for a nice vacation or staycation, or perhaps are already on a vacation here on this Friday before Labor Day. And we're within shouting distance of Media Day and all the trappings and the optimism of the start of a new season. And just about 3 weeks away. So today we're going to talk about the possibility that the Wolves might go out and find another point guard despite having 16 contracts already, plus two two-way contracts. Gerson Rosas had given an interview a little over a week ago that alluded to the possibility that the team might add somebody else in the name of competition and so forth. And point guard's the logical position that they would want to add to, given their extensive wing depth that we've talked about quite a bit on this podcast, as well as the deep front court that they have, and really the need to, there's no need to have more than four or five guys that can play power forward or center on this team. So we will talk a little bit about the point guards currently on the roster and the differences and similarities between Jeff Teague and Shabazz Napier, and then what a third point guard could look like. And then we'll also talk through a few names of guys that are on the market that are, for the most part, veteran point guards that could be possibilities. There's also a few veteran point guards that were on the market that recently signed overseas that are no longer options, at least at this point in the season, or preseason, I guess. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And then I promise we are lining up our over-under podcasts. We've still got a little bit of time here, but we're going to get those knocked out and spend a lot of time on each team throughout the league and give a sense for where we think the Timberwolves are going to be come the end of the season, whether or not there's a possibility that they manage to sneak into the playoffs. I know we talked a little bit about the initial Vegas win total that was put out there for the Wolves, but we'll also talk about that in the context of the other teams in the West and make some overall win-loss projections and playoff projections and so forth. All right, so before we take our first break, talk a little bit quickly about football. We're now, 6 days away from the opener, and somehow I still have all three of my redraft fantasy drafts in the next 6 days. So I guess wish me luck in my last second and rushed draft preparation. But as I said, the NFL season begins next week, which means Crossover Wednesday will be back. For the entire NFL regular season, you will get a special episode every Wednesday as the hosts from opposing sides meet up to preview the excitement of the games happening that week. Find your favorite team wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to not miss the NFL listeners' favorite segment. All right, we are going to take a really quick break. All right, let's talk about the point guard spot. So Jeff Teague is obviously the starter, and there's really no question about that. He had the worst season of his career last year. We've talked about this a little bit previously, so we won't rehash it too much, but he is entering his age 31 season. He's getting paid $19 million and is an unrestricted free agent next summer, coming off what's easily the worst year of his career. He'd never played save for the lockout season, he'd never played in less than 70 games in a season, and last year only managed to appear in 42 games, had a variety of knee and ankle injuries, and was just banged up. When he was on the court, he was very tentative. Well, he had a career high in assist rate and assists per game. He basically didn't shoot the ball. He averaged his least amount of field goal attempts per game since he was a part-time backup in his second year in the league with Atlanta. And he had a career worst field goal percentage if you throw out his rookie season when he only played 10 minutes a game. His three-point percentage was his worst in 6 years. And he was just overall extremely hesitant to shoot the ball. And nobody knows if that was due to injuries or if he just wasn't overall feeling comfortable last year. But the tentative is probably the best way to describe him on offense. And while the assist rate was great and the turnover rate didn't even really move much. So, I mean, overall, he wasn't terrible last season. It was easily his worst year in a while. And, you know, his style of play can be frustrating to watch. Everybody knows about his struggles with entry passes into the post. So hopefully that's something that can be worked on, or maybe the Timberwolves can get more creative on how they're getting the ball to Karl Anthony Towns, and hopefully it's not relying on Jeff Teague throwing away at least one and a half entry passes per game. So we'll see how that shakes out. But all that to say, I mean, assuming Teague comes back somewhat healthy and, you know, on the downside of his prime years, but then again, it's a contract year. So hopefully he's motivated to stay on the court and can play within the scheme. And in the Wolves, what we think their new offense will look like, he's going to have to be able to pull the trigger on open 3-point shots. And there were times last season, it was maddening that he just wouldn't even think about shooting the ball, and opposing teams knew that. I think there was certainly one, maybe two games where teams were playing him like he was, quite frankly, Ricky Rubio, or you know, at times the way that teams played even guys like, I guess early on, Lonzo Ball or you know, Rajon Rondo at times, where they just weren't even bothering to try and challenge him at the 3-point line. And Teague actually made guys pay in a game or two last year. But besides that, he was extremely hesitant to shoot the ball, and it really impacted the Wolves' offense. And he's just been an okay defender throughout his career, and last year was easily his worst year on the defensive end. If you watch the games, the eye test would tell you that. The advanced metrics are very clear about that as well. So it's hopeful that the backslide has not really started for Jeff Teague, and that he can have another solid season in a contract year. His backup, Shabazz Napier, a very different player. They have almost identical 3-point percentages throughout their career. Let's see, Teague is at 35.6, and Shabazz Napier's career 3-point percentage is 35.4. However, Napier shoots the three a lot more. Just over 48% of Napier's career field goal attempts. So out of all the shots he's attempted in his 5-year career, over 48% of them have been 3-pointers. He's far more likely to pull the trigger on a deep shot than Jeff Teague would be. Napier's just a higher usage guy. He's going to come off the bench and be willing to shoot the ball, which will be a change of pace from Teague, and that could be a positive if teams are used to Teague's preference to pass the ball, and then Napier comes into the game and is a little bit more trigger happy. Because of that, his assist rate has always been a little bit low for a point guard, but so is his turnover rate, because he is more focused and intent on scoring the ball, which, depending on how the Timberwolves wing rotation ends up off the bench, if it's guys like Josh Okogie and, you know, maybe Noah Vonleh or guys that aren't as offensively inclined in the half court, it might be a good thing to have somebody like Napier, who's much more willing to pull the trigger from beyond the arc and create his own shot inside the arc as well. Although he's not exactly ultra athletic getting to the rim, but he's not shy, and Napier will shoot the ball if he has the opportunity. So what would be the best mold for a third point guard? I mean, quite honestly, I don't know that it really matters. I mean, you look at some of the third string point guards the Wolves have had in recent years. Jared Bayless last year was fine as a third string point guard. A few years ago, it was Aaron Brooks. At one point, it was Tyus Jones. Third point guard, you just want somebody who's going to be able to come in and be steady in a pinch in a game. If there's significant foul trouble or an injury, you know, they should be able to help you steady the team during one individual game in which foul trouble or injury happens. But you're probably not going to find someone who's a solid enough player to be a regular backup point guard if there's a long-term injury. That said, there's still a few names on the market that are at least somewhat intriguing. And so that'll be the next thing we talk about here, is what names are out there, and also a few of the names, including Jared Bayless, who have recently signed overseas and are not going to be options for the Timberwolves going into this season. All right. Before we take one more break, I did want to pass along a quick message from our friends at DoorDash. Long day at work? Still stuck at the office? Open the DoorDash app. Choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. That's the DoorDash app. Enter promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $5 off your first order of $15 or more with DoorDash. All right, one more break. Okay, let's talk about some actual players that are still out there on the market, largely veterans that are still available and could be options for the Timberwolves. There are some names that were somewhat attractive that recently announced their signing overseas. Jerian Grant, who I think we mentioned on this podcast not that long ago, is actually going to be playing in China next year. Jared Bayless, who obviously was on the Timberwolves last year, is also going to play overseas. There's a handful of those guys who could have been options otherwise, but have opted to play elsewhere and not in the NBA. So in terms of names that could be options for the Timberwolves moving forward for a third point guard spot, one name, a player who I've always really liked, but probably isn't an option at this stage anymore, Jose Calderon. Even 2 years ago, he would have been an awesome option even a year ago, I would have been ecstatic if he was the Timberwolves' third point guard over a guy like Jared Bayless. I mean, Calderon is an outstanding three-point shooter over the course of his career, has never really been a good defender, and so it would have been pretty obvious what the Timberwolves were getting with him. But last year in his age 37 season with the Pistons seemed to really fall off a cliff when it comes to his defense. Prior to last season, throughout the course of his career, he was a 41.1 three-point shooter, but shot just 24.6% from beyond the arc last season, and that dropped his career average to 40.7, so a full 0.4 percentage points off his career average because of how poorly he shot the ball from deep in just 49 games last season in Detroit. So he was a part-time backup in Detroit, but really didn't do much for a fringy playoff team. A couple years ago with Cleveland, when LeBron James was still there, he was kind of a regular backup part-time starter when he was healthy and had an okay season. But his issues on defense really started to show a couple years ago, even more so. And there's been some stories just in the last couple days that Calderon is seriously considering retirement, headed into his age 38 season. And it would make sense. That said, I think there's been nothing but positive things regarding him, Calderon, as a locker room presence, and somebody who's on the bench cheering on his teammates and providing support. Not that the Wolves have like a really young point guard that needs to be mentored or anything like that, but I feel like Calderon could be kind of a calming influence as a third point guard, and theoretically could be able to come in and hit some threes if you need him to in a pinch. So could still be an option that's out there, although probably not, certainly not as attractive as he may have been a year or 2 years ago. I guess a similar sort of story would be Raymond Felton. Raymond Felton will be in his age 35 season this year, and he's been a functional backup point guard very recently, despite some of the issues that caused him to bounce around in the early and middle parts of his career. He was the primary backup point guard on the LA Clippers a couple years ago, when they were a playoff team, and the Thunder. I guess that was more like 3 seasons ago, and then just 2 years ago with the Thunder, he was their main backup point guard for a good team, a good playoff team, that made some noise. He played in only 33 games last year for the Thunder, and again, heading into his age 35 season, it's unclear how much he could really contribute, and his defense has certainly suffered in recent years, despite maybe some of his reputations. Related to some of the weight issues he's had and things like that. He was a decent defender for a while, things appear to have slipped a little bit on that end. And his career three-point shooting percentage is just under 33%. So as a third point guard option, could do worse, but probably Felton's probably not the best place you could go. Similar, Devin Harris. Devin Harris was back with Dallas last year after bouncing around a little bit, but shot just 31% on three-point attempts. He's a steady offensive player. His game is not all that dissimilar from Felton on offense, but there's really nothing flashy about Devin Harris and never has been, and he would just be a solid, steady, calming influence as a third point guard. So, again, we're talking third string, not second string point guard, so he wouldn't be an awful option. The biggest name that's out there still that's a realistic option on some level is Sean Livingston, who spent the last 6 years, I believe, in Golden State, and 14 seasons now in the NBA. Everybody knows his story from exciting young prospect to devastating knee injury to a great comeback story and being the main backup point guard on a three-point happy Golden State team that was in the finals year in and year out. And Livingston was the rare point guard who would much, much rather play down on the box and shoot inside the arc than venture outside the arc. So that would be an interesting fit in the Wolves' new offense, but obviously he did what he did in Golden State and was extremely effective. He's only 33 years old, and Golden State has, it sounds like, considered bringing him back. But at this point, he still remains out there on the market. He would be an outstanding option from a championship pedigree and veteran experience and all those things that are kind of nebulous, but I matter on some level. So keep your eye out on somebody like Livingston. Again, Gerson Rosas talked about competition being extremely important, which shouldn't be a surprise, but is refreshing to hear that he'd be willing to take on additional guaranteed contracts in order to encourage competition and get the best out of his players during training camp and in the preseason. So given that there's 16 guys under contract plus two two-way players, it's fair to assume that somebody like Tyrone Wallace on a partially guaranteed contract, or, you know, I guess he's the most likely candidate, but that somebody could still be let go if a veteran is signed. So my hunch is that Rosas is willing to go into training camp, see how things are shaking out, make sure that there's no injuries or no surprises. There was a report recently that Robert Covington is expected to be ready for training camp, but it was a mild surprise to me that he was not already cleared for training camp. So there could be some hesitation there. Do they need another wing? Probably not. But there's really no difference between signing a guy now and signing a guy in 3 weeks at the very start of training camp. So my hunch is that Rosas is waiting to see how things shake out, maybe even waiting for the start of training camp to make sure that everyone's healthy and on board before deciding if he's going to bring in someone else to compete for an end of the roster spot. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on and something that we'll continue to look at here on the Locked On Wolves podcast and, you know, kind of keep an eye out for as we near the end of the offseason. So as I mentioned before, our next podcasts are going to look at the over-unders, you know, with have some guests on the podcast, do some prediction shows, and really get into our preseason prep as September is kind of it feels right when it comes to actually doing some previews on the Timberwolves, on the division, the Western Conference as a whole, and ultimately some predictions and go on the record with what I think is gonna happen this year in terms of a win-loss total, you know, which players are going to be the most improved and potentially most disappointing on the roster and all that good stuff. So thank you once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. We'll be back with over-unders and league previews here shortly. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.